You've now entered the House of Mystery on KYAH, Utah's Talk Authority, with your hosts, Al Warren and Kev Thompson. Also, Julie Saville with the Paranormal Report, the True Crime Commentary by Stephen David Lampley, and Dr. Joseph Usensky's Conspiracy Countdown.
For something a little different, a show filled with British etiquette and humour, from the delightful Julie Saville, a medium working with spirit across the UK. Welcome to the Julie Sav Show.
Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman.
Hi everybody, and welcome to my show this evening. And tonight I'm joined by the very beautiful and wonderful Jackie Dennison, who joins me from the UK, but you guys will know her for her amazing contribution to the very long-running show Rescue Mediums. And Jackie, you've done so many things, so welcome to the show first of all.
Thanks for inviting me.
And obviously, through the introduction, I've explained that a lot of viewers who are in Canada and the US will know you from Rescue Mediums, and of course here in the UK. But you've done so many more things, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done other television work as well. You know, not just Rescue Mediums, but most of the things I do sort of centre around the business I have in Cheshire. So, you know, we do all sorts of things there. Including workshops and things, and we take workshops all around the country here in England, but also in Canada and in Spain as well. So, yeah, quite no 2 days are ever the same.
No, and also have you written books, or have you been part of books? I know that there's on your website that there was talk of you doing some writings.
Yeah, I've written a book with Christine Hamlet, who I did the first three seasons of Rescue Mediums with. We wrote a local history book, but it's a local, it's a factual book about a mansion that was here, and the family that lived here in that mansion in Cheshire, just a short distance away from where we both live. But the twist was that we had a lot of psychic experiences there. So we conducted a series of discussions with spirit members, and we picked up quite a lot on the video camera that we used then, quite a lot of sound recordings, so you can actually hear them communicating back with us. So the twist in the book is called A House with Spirits, because it's the spirit of the house, but also that the spirits are still there, the spirits are still there, connected to the house. So that was the first book that I wrote, but I'm in the middle of writing a book with Steve Furlong, who is my business partner at Feathers. He's my psychic partner, and so we've got a book that's sort of three quarters written, and that's about psychic development and rescue work as well. And then I've had my psychic art published very recently in a book as well. So this is quite diverse, different things, you know, that I've been involved in, that I like to keep a finger in a lot of different pies on a spiritual level and psychic level.
And you do your, you continue to do your Supernatural Online column every month?
Yeah, well, Steve and I both write, you know, it's usually about the work that we do. It's usually about, you know, spirit rescue work we do, or in England or Canada as well. I think we've posted a few that we've done in Spain, but also personal experiences, like Steve had an out-of-body experience, so time travel. His was about time travel, and mine was when you go back in time, and it's a time slip. So, because I've had a couple of experiences where that's happened. So, the stories that go into the Supernatural magazine are all very personal. They're not stories that we've written. They're all factual stories, things that have happened to either one of us or to both of us when we've been together.
Okay, so I mean, I suppose listeners will have heard us mention Feathers a few times already, right in the early part of this interview. So I guess we should really explain to people what this business is. You talk about business partner, you talk about Feathers, but inherently this is about offering your skills and expertise and supporting others to learn.
Absolutely. Feathers was opened, we've been open, I think, since 2002 now. And it's just a little shop that's in the town that we live in, Northwich in Cheshire. A little shop that we sell spiritual gifts and things, but mainly it's a centre where people can come and get help and advice. So the shop area is like a sitting room. So it's like walking into somebody's sitting room. We've got a fireplace there and little tables and chairs around. So people can come and just get help and advice. You know, maybe they've had a problem, a dream they can't understand. So they'll come in and there's always somebody there that can chat to them about what's been happening, maybe try and explain to them what's been going on, or somebody who's maybe experiencing a feeling of being watched, or that there's just somebody in the house and that they're not quite sure who it is. So we'll talk to them, in a number of different ways to find out whether it is spirit that's causing that or whether there's something else. So there's always help and advice there. You know, maybe somebody is wanting to know, they bought a set of angel cards and they're not quite sure how to use them, so they'll come in for advice. And the kettle's always on, so we do get those people who come for a free cup of tea or a free coffee and a free biscuit, and we don't mind that either. But we teach there. We teach clairvoyant development there. We do Reiki treatments there. We've got a lovely lady called Anne Jones, who's our Reiki master. And she teaches Reiki as well as doing Reiki treatments. We do past life work there too. So there's lots of things on offer at Feathers. And of course, clairvoyant readings. We've got three reading rooms. But everybody who works there, and we have different mediums in every day. I'm virtually there. It's a wonder my bed's not there, because I'm virtually there every single day. So we have other mediums that work there on certain days, but everybody who works there has been trained there, and I think that's what makes it so unique. We're a family, so we call ourselves, you know, it's like the Feathers family. It's like the Rescue Mediums family. We've got a Rescue Mediums family and I've got a Feathers family. So we know how everybody works. Everybody who works there has been trained by either myself or by Steve Furlong, who you've heard me talk about as my business partner. He's my psychic rock, Steve, and I couldn't and don't want to ever manage without him. So we both teach, and we travel all around England. We travel to Canada and to Spain, taking workshops that we do at Feathers. We take them outside so that other people can enjoy the same sort of workshops. So that's in a nutshell what Feathers does and who Steve is.
And I think you've touched on something really important there, because certainly when people talk about going to mediums, I had somebody contacted me recently and said, are you a member of this? Have you done that? Have you done this? And I said, you have to go with somebody that you trust. You have to go with somebody where you make that connection with. Do not just go with somebody because they're local, they've got availability, or, you know, you find the person that best suits you. And, you know, would never just book somebody in on that basis. And in the same way, I wouldn't work with somebody on stage unless I trusted that person. So that Feathers Academy and having that family there is critical, isn't it? To be able to get the most out of people and the best out of people, and to be able to move those people attending forward in their development, because there's that innate trust and understanding of the way each other works.
Yes, exactly. And what we do with the students, when the students have completed their awareness and then the development course, we don't just leave them high and dry and say, right, that's the end of everything now. We have other things set in place. So we have a meditation evening where it's just meditation. We have an open closed circle evening for the group that have developed together. They can then carry on that further development and trust with each other within a very safe environment. But we also provide a platform within Feathers for them to practice doing readings. So if they're stuck, if they're not quite sure how to deliver a message to somebody, then there's always an experienced medium there that can say, well, look, you know, maybe you should look at it like this, or maybe we should just open this up a little bit, or, you know. So it's a continuing thing where you're nurturing the fledglings, if you like, while they're still developing, you know, for as long as they want to be there. So there's always quite a lot of us there. There's usually three mediums a day, and at least one of those is a fledgling medium that's getting that support.
Fantastic. And how would people who are not accessible to Cheshire be able to tap into that support?
At the moment we offer Skype readings. We are looking into, because we take the workshops around to other places too, but there is quite a big demand for online workshops, and we're sort of looking into the development of that, into how we can best get that across and help others who can't get to us. Obviously, as you know yourself, a lot of the work that you do is very, very hands-on. So if you're teaching somebody maybe healing, maybe it's a healing thing, maybe you're demonstrating healing, you've got to be able to be, I personally feel, you've got to be with that person that you're teaching the healing to, so that A, they can feel that themselves, they're in receipt of it, but when they're giving the healing, the person they're giving the healing to can feel that, so they've got that feedback straight away, because a lot of the work that we do, of course, is energy work, and it's something you've got to be able to feel. With online classes, which is, I say, something that we are looking into, and it's something that I already do with veryparanormal.com, which, you know, we can talk a little bit more about later if you like. It's that there's only certain things that you can do online without having that feedback there and then. I know you can see someone through Skype, and I know that you're able to have that discussion straight away. So if we did a meditation, then the meditation could be interpreted. That's not a problem. If you're doing something like psychometry, or you're working with someone's energy where, you know, you would hold a hand to feel the vibrations from that other person, that's something that you weren't able to do in an online class. So I think they have to be structured, and that's why we've been very cautious about how we're doing our online classes, because it's not something you can just go into. It's something that needs to be looked into in a very practical sort of way to find out. I know there's quite a lot, I'm not trying to knock people, I know there's quite a lot of people that offer online classes, and some of them are ridiculous amounts of money to get a certificate at the end of it, and this is all about mainly because you're working with energy, and you're working with spirit energy in particular. You have to feel it. I feel you have to be with someone to be able to generate that energy in its fullest form, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And coming back to the point I was making when I talked about that kind of trust in working with somebody and standing alongside somebody on stage, etc. Again, it's that initial meeting with somebody, you very quickly pick up on that person's energy and how you'll link with that person to go forward. In terms of, you mentioned just now a little bit about people coming into Feathers and asking, for example, I've got something happening in my house and it's worrying me, a door bangs, a noise, whatever that may be. And for you guys to help them to understand whether that's spirit or whether it is that has another cause, is that not something also that you would want to go out and investigate the property in a two-pronged approach, in scientific and psychically, or do you feel that's doable from Feathers?
No, what we always do is what we... It works differently than how I work on rescue mediums, because on rescue mediums we have no idea where we're going to. We don't know, you know, in advance where we're going to or anything. So we work in a completely different way initially with that. But when we're working in this way at Feathers, so say somebody was to come in with all and present all of those problems, what we would do once we've got all the information from the person, either in person at Feathers or over the phone, we would then ask them to keep a diary for 2 weeks. And within that 2 weeks, we'd ask them to write all the things that were happening. Just for example, you know, a clock may stop. So what time did the clock stop? Who was in the house at the time? What was the conversation maybe an hour or so before the clock stopped? All of those sorts of things. Or maybe the lights went out. Well, who was in the house at the time the lights went out? Was anybody having a conversation at the time? It could be that they see a shadow on the stairs or just have a feeling that someone's there. Or maybe it's a certain smell or a sound. So we ask them to write down absolutely everything, even if it seems silly, to write it down and the time it happened and who was there at the time, because this can be very helpful when we are paying a visit to the house, because we would then go out to the house, but only after a 2 week period of time. And it could be that we could help remotely, and we've done that on a number of occasions if we didn't feel it was necessary to go to the property. But 9 times out of 10, if it was within driving distance, we would go out. And if not, we would pass the information on to someone we trust in the country who is very capable of dealing with something like that. Because we do paranormal investigations as well. And we would take equipment with us. But we always say, and I'm sure you agree with this as well, that, you know, we've got all this equipment that can it can sort of add to what we've got. It can confirm things that we are picking up. The best sort of tool you can use is yourself. And so, just for example, and I'm sure this is exactly, you know, the sort of things that you're talking about. If you were to suspect that there was spirit present at that time, and maybe it was a male spirit that you were making that connection with, you could always use like the EMF meters or even a pendulum to make that confirmation, you know, that there is somebody there with you at that time that's got an energy to it, and whether that energy is male, female or whatever. So, yeah, I think they can enhance things.
So in terms of, I guess, one of my questions for a little bit later on was actually going to be, where do you think mediumship and paranormal investigation is heading currently, especially here in the UK? And I'm bringing that question in now because there are various groups around the UK that will scientifically look at the nature of orbs, investigation, how people investigate, the use of EMF, and I suppose rule them out as being useful.
Yes.
So how do you sit on that? What's your feeling about how that affects mediumship and paranormal investigation and how it's heading in the UK?
I think they go side by side, to be honest. It depends what the mediumship is being used for. Obviously, you know, a medium will give proof that, you know, that life is continuous and therefore, you know, messages can be passed on to loved ones that are on the earth plane. But if you're doing an investigation, you're doing a paranormal investigation or whatever that investigation, you're using your mediumistic ability to be able to make that connection. And if science can confirm what mediums are already picking up on, are already making that connection, if from a scientific point of view, that can be, a backup, that's got to be a good thing, surely.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. I think there are people out there, I've interviewed, for example, Steve Parsons from Parascience. He's written papers on orbs, he's looked at the use of EMF, and largely would say the one thing that is stable in terms of investigating is our own senses, and that we go in and we investigate somebody else's experience. So to go in at different times and try and replicate the same thing happening again is very short-sighted in many ways. And of course, paranormal groups out there in the UK are charged a lot of money to go in and investigate. And they're only places they go to are big places, and they're maybe 750 plus baht per night, and the only time they can get in there is at night. So you're losing that sense of we're investigating somebody else's experiences, and we're able to try and replicate that in that time, that moment, that whoever was there present, who was talking, to see if we could have the same scenario happen again. And it's making it much more entertainment and money making as opposed to true investigation.
Yeah, it depends what it depends what your purpose is in going there. I mean, a lot of people, because Feathers, we have Feathers Paranormal Investigations Group, and this is a group that we do charge. We don't charge at all for rescue work in any way, shape, or form. But with a paranormal investigation where we take members of the public with us to an investigation, of course we have to, as a paranormal group, we have to pay for the venue, as you know, and then therefore, in order to recoup your own charges, whatever it is you're having to pay out for, you've got to charge the individuals for that experience. Now, I think what the worrying thing is, I'm not saying every paranormal group does this. A lot of paranormal groups go in without any. They go in for the fear factor straight away, and that's what they're there for, because the people that are on their paranormal group, that's what they want. To me, that's not what Feathers Paranormal Investigations offers. We teach people. We don't actually, we work mediumistically. Say there was 30 people with us on an investigation. We always have at least 3 or 4 mediums working on the same night, and we split those into groups. So we have a group, say we've got 40 people and we've got 4 mediums, so they've got 10 people in each group, and everybody does a different activity. So one group will do a seance, another group we may do a vigil, another group may do pendulum work or dowsing rods, and maybe table tipping, or we have different activities that we do, different experiments that we do. But as the mediums of the group, we show those that are attending how to do it, and how to do it properly, by grounding yourself first, by putting protection around yourself first, and by how to open up your chakras so you can fine tune. And at the end of the evening, obviously, we close everybody down, we teach them how to do it, just so that they can get the full experience themselves, rather than a medium that goes in and says, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling this, and this is what I've got, and I've got great Aunt Sally here who's come to say hello to everybody. I wouldn't like to go to an investigation like that where the medium is doing all of the work, which is a lot to do. We like to have the individuals experience things for themselves, so that if somebody said, well, what do you think about this? Well, we'll try something. If somebody wants to bring something in, then we will we'll try it. We'll give things a try, with the exception of a Ouija board, which we won't ever use. But we will get them to try things, but we'll do it in a safe way, because people don't realise that they can open doorways in this way. If they don't know how to close the doorways that they're opening up as they're going into properties, it can cause all sorts of problems for the individuals who are attending, but also for the property itself, you know. So you've got to treat it with respect. That's the way I look at it.
So Feathers Paranormal is about helping, I suppose, aspiring mediums or practicing mediums to enhance their skills in a paranormal setting.
It's interesting that, actually, because not everybody who works as a medium at Feathers goes to the paranormal investigations. Mm. Some of the mediums there are not interested in that side of it. We've got one medium who's an absolute sweetheart, Martin. He works on a Monday and he never comes to any of the paranormal investigations that we do, because he says just not up his street. It's just not the sort of thing that he likes to do. And yet he works mediumistically, and he works with tarot cards, and he works with rune stones, and he does numerology. So he's got a wide range of things that he's done, a lot of which he's learned at Feathers, but some of which he's then developed himself. So he brings a different sort of thing, in a different flavour, if you like, into things. But he's not interested in going on paranormal investigations. So it's interesting. The offer is there if they want to join in, but if they don't, then that's fine. We do have a selection of people who tend to, oh yes, let me know when the next one is, I want to come, because they can experience things themselves. You know, they actually get to try things out for themselves, and we teach them how to work with energy themselves. So, but in a safe way. I think that's what it is. It's in a safe way. It's not in a scary way at all, even though people do like to have the, I don't know why, because I mean, I can't watch things like that on television. I'm terrible. Don't show me anything like that before I go to sleep, so I'll never get to sleep, even though I do this type of work all the time, you know.
Yeah. And I think you're right, because, you know, very popular TV programs have promoted the fear factor in investigating and spirit work. And I think that has done wonders for raising the profile of mediumship, with some very, you know, well-known mediums appearing on the programs. But I think also it has minimized the risks associated with it also. So it's made it quite normal for people just to go out and shout out and call out for spirits and for things to happen, and, you know, to ask for table tipping, etc. So I guess what I was asking about Feathers Paranormal was the majority of the people on there will be mediumistic in some way, so they'll be enhancing skills and tuning in and learning how to open and close and do that safely, as opposed to having a group whereby there may be a couple of mediums and a handful of skeptics and a handful of scientists, and, you know, to really kind of fathom out the evidence and trying to create a solid and evidence base for the mediumship as possible.
Yeah, I think that is an entirely different sort of group. That would have to be a smaller group, really, than because you're bringing, well, on our paranormal investigations, where the general public join us, we do use equipment, but we don't have specialists in that field like Steve Parsons, or specialists or a parapsychologist who would be there. You know, we have worked with Cal Cooper on a TV show, actually, here in the UK. Steve and I with Cal on a program that where we brought his spin on things. So that was quite a different angle for us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that should really be taken very seriously. I think it should be one thing enhancing another, because the parapsychologist really wants to believe that there's something there, but in order to for them to get that proof, they've got to eliminate everything as a process. And I think that's good because it keeps you very grounded, but at the same time open-minded. And yeah. And that's the sort of approach I think that is quite necessary with the type of work that we do. There's no book that has ever been written that says this is how mediumship is, because it's different for every individual. It's not like a guideline to riding a bike. You know, it's everything is different. And every individual is different when we're here on the earth plane, which means that once you go over to the spirit world, we're still going to retain that individuality. And so therefore you will react to different things in different ways. So I think you're right. Nothing can be replicated in that way, because the energy is different every time. And the other thing that bothers me about investigating well-known haunted locations, if you like, with the different paranormal groups is I've been to some locations where the energy has been really high, and you go on another occasions and the energy is completely flat. There's nothing there, and so you have to accept that, you know what, on this occasion we're not feeling anything. That's being completely honest. And if you are honest about what you're receiving and what other people are receiving, then that's got to be a good thing too. The energy can sometimes be flat because, you know, maybe the spirits are going, oh, do you know what, I'm so fed up with this. I had a group in last night. I don't want to perform again tonight, so I'm not going to be there. So, you know, we have to be very careful about how many times you can investigate one place, you know.
I agree with you, totally on the same wavelength as you. And I think it's a shame because there are groups of, 20, 30, 40. I've seen groups of up to 70 people in what is advertised as a paranormal investigation that just could never be one. And people go along because it's on telly, it's the fear factor, it's something a bit spooky to do. And there's no way in the world that they are experiencing a true investigation in any way, shape or form. And, you know, these large events where something's got to happen because you've got to keep those people coming back. So exactly. I think there's then a pressure on the company to perform. And likewise, that's very hard in our world because you know that you can go into somewhere and there's nothing. I recently did an investigation for a group and there was absolutely nothing. The whole evening was very flat. They did everything they could to try and conjure up something that wasn't there, and they couldn't understand why I kept saying, no, nothing there.
Yeah.
And I found myself in that position where I was thinking, actually, you know, I don't need to justify this. And I had to keep reminding myself.
Yes.
Reminding them, and that's hard. And you see that on television as well. We've seen television mediums not perform like a performing monkey, and not make things up, and therefore be cast aside by television companies, because actually it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, well, that's reality. And I think if you stay honest and true to who you are and what you're receiving, then that's got to be a good thing. But you're right, you know, people especially with TV, which is very visual, it's got to be very visual, and it's all about the ratings with TV as well, you know. You have to perform, and you have to do this or you have to do that. Well, you know, many years ago, before we'd even started to work on rescue mediums, Christine and I did some work for a German TV company called Pro7. And they took us to a few different places to investigate, just the two of us with a film crew. And on one of the places that we went to, it was a little bit flat. There was things going on there, and you know. And when we said to the producer, What is it you want? What do you want from us? What do you expect from us? Because we were giving him clairvoyantly what we were receiving, but he was quite disinterested. And he said, what I want is for for something to come from the sky, for something to happen right there and then, and my camera be focused right at that moment in time, so I get, you know, the fireball that comes from the sky, and I've got that there, and I can hear the chains that are clinking up and down those stairs as you're telling me about this story. He said, that's what I want. And I said to him, well, if that's what you want, then you go and find yourself a couple of actors, because we don't act. And we walked off. We walked to where they had to get the boss who was over this producer to ring, because we wouldn't perform, and we weren't going to make something there that wasn't there.
Of course, and we saw that with Chris Conway when he said, actually, I'm here to work for Spirit. I'm going to work for Spirit. I'm going to stay true to Spirit. I'm not going to make stuff up just because I've got 5 minutes to come up with something.
Yes,
exactly. And, you know, fair play to somebody for just standing up and saying, I don't need this fame and fortune here, actually. This is where I'm best placed.
Yeah.
Time is going so quickly. This is mad. And as you said, it's really good when you're talking to somebody on the same wavelength and have that very similar beliefs. Time just flies by. So you just have a conversation about all the things that we could put the world to rights on.
I know.
But I can't not talk about your artistry, your psychic art.
Oh, right.
It's a field, you see, because I've never tried, if I'm honest, with psychic art. And I'm not really sure that it would be my thing. But I'm impressed with yours. And that leads me on again, further to that, to how many drawings you've done of spirit guides.
Oh, crikey. I don't know. I've lost count.
there's just countless, and I'm for all the listeners. I'm currently, while I'm talking to Jackie, I'm clearly listening, but I'm also perusing her website, which is jackiedennison.com, and on that page, the home page along the bottom, there is a whole scrolling ribbon of different drawings that Jackie has done psychically, and many of them relate to being spirit guides. So tell me how it works for you, Jackie. How do you do this?
And well, the spirit guide one are done in a slightly different way. The spirit guide portraits that are on the website are guide portraits that I've done for people. You know, so they've had it's either a commission piece or I felt compelled to do that for someone. A lot of those were for Silent Voices magazine I used to write for, but also for Supernatural magazine as well. We do a monthly drawing for them. So their spirit, what I would do in that case, I would have a photograph of someone in front of me. So say I had a photograph of you in front of me, I would link into your aura. I would, because I have to be able to see somebody's eyes when I'm working in this way. I would link into your aura, to your energy field, by focusing on your eyes. And then I would ask my spirit guide to connect with your spirit guide, to ask them to come forward, or whichever spirit guide happened to come forward at that time. And then I would get my a different guide that I have. This is a psychic artist guide, to work through me. So I have about three different artists that work with me in this way, and one of them works in colour quite detailed colour. Another one works with colour but very quickly, and then I have another one that works with pencil. Mainly the it's the one that works with colour when I'm doing guide portraits, and I feel as though I'm completely with that energy at that moment in time. So I get to feel what the characteristics are of that guide. So there's quite a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of love that comes with spirit guides, but wisdom as well. So it can even affect the way I sit, because if I'm working with a spirit guide who's quite strict, if you like, I have to sit up straight. And if I work with maybe a spirit guide who was an artist themselves when they were on the earth plane, they're quite sort of lots of flair in the picture. So I'm quite, I could be standing or sitting or moving around. So I tend to work with the spirit guides energy in that way. When I'm working with psychic arts, say like for rescue mediums, the psychic art in that way is done by meditating before, a couple of days before I go to the location. So just for example, I know I'm working the day after tomorrow, so today I would sit, meditate, I would ask my spirit guide to give me a list of things, like a bit like premonitions, if you like, of what to expect when we got to the property, where we were going, what sort of things were going to be happening. And then I would ask the psychic art guide to come forward to work through me, to show me either someone who connects to the property or somebody who connects to who is there, what spirit is there, is if there is a spirit that is haunting the property, for want of a better word, who they are, what do they look like, what is their personality. So I tend to do quite a lot of different types of artwork like that. So I could actually draw someone who is living in the property, actually still there. So it could be the homeowner. It could be that I'm drawing someone from, I don't know, 1920, and it's a male, and he's wearing a particular hat, or so the hat becomes quite a prominent feature. So when we actually go to the property, we do the investigation, and I say with rescue mediums, we never know where we're going beforehand. It could be that during the investigation, maybe a gentleman comes forward, and Edna, who is our head of research, will go away and will look at all the evidence that we've got as a result of the investigation, including the drawings that we do. And then she will, maybe she finds, I don't know, Joe Brown, who there's a picture of him wearing a hat and it's appeared in a newspaper in 1922 that she's managed to find after we've done the investigation. So that is another form of a confirmation of working with a spirit energy, spirit guides, who will work with you in a different way, in a psychic way. And of course, Alison, who is my partner on the show with the last four seasons, she works in a completely different way with psychic art. She will tell you she can't draw, and she can't draw, but what she draws is absolutely fantastic, because her artwork tells a whole story. She could draw a couple of stick men, and they are, she might draw what looks like a wheelbarrow and maybe a rainbow and a farm. And it could be that when we get to the place, it's a farm, it's called Rainbow Farm, and there's two people who, used to live there, that used to be their property. So her pictures actually tell a story. So it's a completely different way of working, of course, but psychic art takes many different forms.
I think one of the, just flicking through the pictures that you've drawn, looking at how detailed they are and how colourful and the expressions. My first, and this is quite bizarre, because I looked through and I thought, wow, if these are guys, some of these guys need to cheer up a bit. they looked quite serious and quite stern. And then when I went back through them and looked through them again, the majority of them are smiling. Yeah. But my first glance of them was different. It was a bit of a mad moment there for me. I just looked and thought, wow, these guys need to lighten up a little bit. And then it was, wow, actually the majority of people are smiling. In terms of our spirit guides, everybody has, a very different guide. And sometimes they're easier to kind of learn from and communicate from, depending on what kind of level they're at, etc. How easy do you find it to kind of touch base with people's guides and to be able to have some insight into them?
Okay, so linking into to somebody else's spirit guide, it's not very easy to do, but when I'm working in a psychic heart way, I link in through someone's eyes. So That gives me a soul connection with somebody. So when I'm working in that way, I then try and link into the aura field, to the energy, and it's my spirit guide who brings the guides forward that are connecting to the person's photograph that I'm linking into. It works in a similar way if I'm sitting with someone and doing a spirit guide portrait for someone who sat in front of me. It works in exactly the same way. It's probably a little bit stronger because I'm working with that person's energy as well, and so the guide's energy can come through at the same time. If I'm just doing a normal reading for somebody, it's very unusual for a guide to come forward, although it has happened, and I'm sure that's happened with you as well when a guide set forward.
Because when I was, I suppose, in earlier days, and I don't claim myself to be anywhere near, not in early days, but in my earlier days, when my mediumship really switched on, my guides and information was given to me to describe using very popular, I'm trying to think of a way of wording this. So, for example, if I was to validate the existence of spirit for somebody, my guide might show me a picture of a living room, and they'd say to me, this is what you need to describe. So I'd describe the living room. Now, knowing how I was going to describe that living room and knowing the words that I was were going to use, my guide would give me a living room that would be very easy for me to describe. So that could be, for example, one of the front rooms off of EastEnders. And they know that by looking at that image, I will be able to describe that other person's living room. It wouldn't be the same because I will use different words. But they know that by giving me that image, I'm going to hit the nail on the head when I describe that room. So, for example, when somebody's saying, no, Julie, you're missing the point. You need to tell this person about dungarees. And I still carry on my own little way because I think, well, what's the relevance of the dungarees? They're not that relevant. And I put my own living human head on and I do my own thing. My guide will very quickly give me a picture that says, actually, this is Hale and Pace in their dungarees. Look at the dungarees. They're relevant. All you do as you're told.
Yeah.
So when my guides manifested themselves to me, my first guide that was very prominent manifested as a character from a television program. So when I describe him, I'm describing somebody that I see in my mind's eye, but it is actually the image of somebody from Stargate.
Yes.
Now, obviously, he's not the person from Stargate, but and he gave me his name as Raman, but that image is one that he knows I will relate to.
Yes.
And likewise with my next more prominent guide that came in, and much later, I get a perfect image of Morgan Freeman. And
right.
I don't have a name for this guy, but he's there with a red book, he's very official looking, he's calm, but he's solid. I know there's a solidarity with him, there's something that drives me forward. So, you know, how people present is quite different normally to who they are to help you make sense of something.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how does that impact? So if you were to, if I was to say, I really would love a picture of my guide, and would you see the image they're giving me, or would you see something completely different?
Well, everybody sees things in their own way. It's very personal, isn't it? Mm. And of course, what we're linking into is the energy of that person, the spirit, the personality of the guide. And so the thing with guides, I've found this out a few times as well, is because they've reached a guide level, they have been on the earth plane many times. So therefore, they have many incarnations. And it depends which incarnation they show themselves to me in. So I just, for example, my main guide that I work with every single day, he's a little Egyptian fella.
Yeah.
And he's very small, very bony, and I can describe him. I know what, you know, there's a picture of him that I've done only because he mithered me, done everybody else's drawing, you've not done mine. So I did a picture of him as well. And that is on the website if anybody wants to take a look at it. But he did like a past life regression with me. And I've been working with him for about 20 years before he did this. And he said, you know, we've known each other in a previous lifetime. And I thought, I've never known you before now. I've never known you. But in this previous lifetime, he took me back to when we were slaves together in Egypt. And we were slaves to a Turkish merchant. And as soon as he said that to me and showed me an image, I was straight away back to where I knew him from. And he was a Nubian slave.
Wow.
And I was just I was 14 years old, a slave girl, very happy with what I did, and we were best friends. And so his image then was totally different to the image that I see him now. And so it's interesting as to which guide comes forward. We all work with you know, we can have more than one guide, as you know, we can. But it depends which incarnation. So I asked them to give me the spirit of who they are, to try and get to who that is. So we may have a guide that is presenting in one way, but in the background there might be something else there. There might be something in the background in the picture that comes out sometimes in the picture that doesn't relate to that person at that time frame. It might relate to a previous incarnation as well. So it's the knowledge that comes from every incarnation that goes with a message, because I usually have channeled messages that go with the guide portrait. So it's interesting as to who comes forward and why. Sometimes it can be a new guide, completely new guide that you're not aware of, but, you know, you shortly will be aware of. So in answer to your question, I know I've gone off a little bit, but that's typical of me. Your question was, would I see that guide the same as you see the guide yourself? Maybe an essence of who that guide is. It might be exactly what you're seeing, but I could see one thing as an interpretation. You might have an image of someone else, but the essence of who that person is still the same. It's a bit like Chinese whispers, I suppose. If you say a name, by the time it gets to the end of the line, it's sort of, the essence of it is still there, but it might have dynamically have changed. So I've had some people who have said, yes, that's exactly who I see, and other people say, oh, that's interesting. I know I recognize the eyes of this person. Maybe I'm just seeing them in a different way, or maybe, but the message was absolutely right for what they needed at that time. So
it's a fascinating subject, isn't it? Because it is about those different levels, the different incantations, the different our way of absorbing information from spirit. It will all counteract and influence what it is we're seeing.
Yes, well, absolutely. And then you get the totem guides that start to come in then as well. So when you start working with animal guides, and obviously an animal is not there sitting there talking to you, but guides will communicate with whatever you need at that particular time. And it could be the message of, I don't know, the giraffe that you needed right there, you know, to stay very grounded, but to rise above the situation and to have patience, and you'll get the sweetest leaves or the best results. So there's so many different ways to work with them. I call it psychic shorthand when they do this with me.
Yeah, I mean, my first guide was my first experience of working with alongside a guide or understanding that about a guide was when I was very young with a black cat. So, and the black cat used to be a predominant feature in my life until I was in my 20s. And then I see a lot less, I don't see the cat now. I haven't seen the cat for many years. And that kind of evolves, and things switched off a little while whilst I had young children, and then switched back on. And somebody said to me, you know, just shout out, you make sure they make themselves known to you, and it happened and it was all good. But certainly those very early experiences, very reassuring with this cat. I was only about 11 to 12 at the time. So, Well, Jackie, it's been
Should mention the cat. I know we're rounding up, but you see, we could go on forever.
Carry on.
The black cat is funny because one of my totems is a black panther.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so as soon as you said black cat, I was right there with my black panther.
Yeah, I mean, I used to walk into a room and I would see this black cat in front of me and it would walk off out of my peripheral vision. And if I turned to look at the cat would go. I wouldn't be able to stare at the cat. I knew it was there and it would walk away and I could see it walking away. But if I turned to look, it would disappear. And my mum spent hours looking for this cat. And we'd always had cats as I grew up. So there was nothing unusual for me to feel a cat jump on the bottom of the bed, turn around a few times to get comfortable and then lay down. So, of course, when I was saying when our cat had died, actually, it's the black cat that's on the bottom of the bed. Mum's saying, we haven't got a black cat. And she'd be hunting up and down. And although my mum was very, she was very interested in spirit, she had tickets to see the late Doris Stokes when I was 12, and when it came to her actually attending, she couldn't go. So while she had this innate belief in there's something more, and it's more spiritualism than, for example, a different sense of Christianity or a different religion, when it came to it, she was too scared to be able to go, and I attended at the age of 12.
Wow.
Which is all around the same time as this cat and all of that. So it's funny when you look back and you can start to see your psychic pathway forming way before you really understood it.
Absolutely. Yes. Fascinating. Absolutely. I just love it. I wake up in the morning and I'm so thankful that I can work in such a way because I love every aspect of what I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But I have, as my listeners will know, a different full-time job completely than being a medium. But to make that switch would be, just a wonderful opportunity and experience for me to do that full-time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jackie, it's been amazing. It's been a truly lovely chat. It's probably been one of the few interviews, it's probably a handful that I can say it's just been a conversation and a chat, and this has been that, and I've learned a lot and listened to your stories, and they've certainly given me food for thought, and when you're trying to think around your own beliefs and how things work, as well as enhancing my knowledge. So thank you ever so much. I really, really appreciate the interview.
You are very, very welcome. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. I look forward to speaking to you again.
Absolutely. So from all of us here at the Julie Sav Show and from Jackie, have a great evening. And thank you once again, Jackie, for being an amazing guest.
The mission has been completed.
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
I'll see you.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.